Hey guys, David here. We're just catching up with Sanford Building. He's a outer suburb Melbourne builder. Absolute legend, man. Was pretty cool to see how he has built his business into what he's doing now. Smaller building company, team of two or three. But yeah, it was cool just to understand a different story from a builder going from working for a boss, managing the sales, quoting, winning business process, dealing with all the ups and downs. So yeah, he put a quote from him, "I've just been building small buzzy shit and now he's building $1 million passive home houses in the outer suburbs of Melbourne." So we spoke about how competitive the market is out there, if he competes with other builders, how he prices for his builders, what type of contracts he does as well. So yeah, it was just cool to see, you know, another guy was doing his apprenticeship, managed to find a couple clients that were giving him good, you know, extra weekend work. His boss at the time only had 4 days work a week, so he was going and doing 3 days for this other guy. Loves his family, got a newborn on the way, wants to try and tailor off building where he can and let, you know, one of his foremen step up and make more money. So yeah, another interesting background from a busy builder. If you're a busy builder and you're pricing smaller jobs and you want help moving into the bigger lane, here at Rapid QS we'll do everything from pricing off plans, dealing with the clients for you, helping with your price packages, putting together your tender packs. But realistically, we are the best and the fastest at pre-construction estimating and helping you guys win more projects. So we'll drop our email below, listen to this podcast, let us know your thoughts. Whereabouts are you in regards?
So I live here.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And then I've got a job here.
Shit, man.
And the other one's here.
How many Ks do you do a week?
I got a new car.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the year and I've got 17,000 Ks on it.
Fuck, already.
Shitloads of Ks, yeah. But it, like, I didn't really plan to have two jobs like so far away from each other.
Yeah, man.
Just like one got heavily delayed and now they've just like ended up being at the same fucking time. It's a nightmare.
Mm.
Whereas like normally I'm happy to travel to one and then have something else fucking closer. Can I drink that?
Yeah, take that, bro. It's all yours, man. So how do you, in regards to leads and jobs you take on and all that jazz, how do you target that? Or you kind of, were these just word of mouth ones that were...
Yeah, it's always been my goal to be a myth.
Yeah.
You know, like, and just, yeah, like I don't market myself
nice
fucking at all.
Yeah.
Like this is the first time I've had a car with branding on it.
No shit.
Same, like my jobs, one's driving past them.
Yeah.
Like they're literally both dead end roads. Like, and at the end of dead end roads.
Bro, it's how many years have you had the business?
So I was a carpenter for...
Oh, sick, bro.
Like fucking six.
Yeah.
6 years.
Nice. And then,
then got my builder's license.
Yeah.
And so I've been building for three years.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So you've never had a lull in those 3 years? That's pretty good if you haven't marketed though. Like, fuck. That's
Good. Like, as a carpenter, I was doing a lot of work for a developer.
Yeah.
And like, there's a street in Northcote, not far from... Well, like not far out, like 15 minutes out of the city.
Yeah.
And I've done like five in the same street.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I pretty much just like worked, not exclusively for them, but like... Yeah.
They've given you a good flow of work the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like I just run a pretty lean ship, so...
Man.
Sort of happy to not do many things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like the Little River job I've got,
like
the client's worth squillions. And
how'd you mean it? How'd you get his job?
I was doing a heap of work. I do heaps of random stuff, like just fun shit.
That's good though, man.
So I did a factory fit out for a panel beater.
Mm.
Like a builder that I was working for owns this factory.
Yeah.
And so I went there to like build a couple of partition walls or whatever. And I hit it off with the panel beater and he's like, "Oh, do you reckon you can, you know, do this and this and this?" And then next minute I spent like 12 months there. And he raced sprint cars and we built this like sick ass fucking display room for his sprint cars.
Yeah.
Like a sick paint booth.
Yeah, mate.
Like just, he just kept going like.
Yeah.
He fucked off on holidays once and came back and he's like, "Man, the Airbnb had this fucking sick ceiling. Do you reckon we can do that?" I was like, "Yeah, fucking sent it. Just ripped the fucking ceiling out."
Gangster, this, man.
Sick. So we've just done so much grouse shit with him. And as all he does is like restore like super old classics, like fucking legit shit. And so this Little River client was one of his clients.
Mean.
And he's like, "Hey, I heard you're a good builder. Do you want to take this job on?"
Yeah.
I was like, yep.
Word of mouth is the best business you can get.
And he was chill. Like, I mean, I went down to have a look at this job. It's like an 1860 stone cottage.
Yeah.
Joint's fucked.
Yeah.
He bought it for his daughter because she wanted to live somewhere off grid.
Yeah.
And they started renovating, lost interest and legged it. Mate. And just left it there getting trashed for just fucking 3 or 4 years.
Beat up and not look after. I just remember, did you put any photos of this on your Instagram?
Oh, there's not many of the Little River job, but...
No, it's just cool. Like, I'm just baffled. Like, you've done pretty well with, like, you know, not much marketing. Your Instagram's good. Do you get a lot of work directly through your Instagram?
Zero.
Just all just fucking, the flings, man.
Oh, it's just fucking builders, man. Just networking, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I went down there and had a look at the job, and I was like, listen, man, it's going to be fucking hard to price. Like, it's so fucked. I'm like, I'm going to have to get trades down to look at it and like work out a fucking scope of works.
Yeah.
And on the drive home, he drove me down there. He's like, he goes, so how do we get this job happen? I'm like, yeah, like I said, you know, like this is what's going to have to be the process.
Yeah.
And he goes, mate, just do the fucking job, send me the bill.
Mate, that's like, a dream client.
I was like, fucking sweet. Yeah. And then we started and the joint was fucked and I ring him. I'm like, Richard, I'm going to have to knock this down.
Yeah.
And he goes, Brad, don't stress me with this shit. He goes, just go your hardest, send me the bill.
Yeah.
I was like, I go, I'm going to need an excavator. He goes, I'll sort it. I was like, cool. And then he rings me and goes, listen, I can't be fucked hiring one.
Yeah.
I've bought one. It'll just get dropped off. Drops off a brand new 5-ton Kubota.
To use for what, a day?
Aircon. Nah, like we've used it heaps. He's got...
Oh, but how long did that job take to, you know, demo that thing down?
Oh, no, fuck all. A couple of days. He's like, oh, it'll come in handy for something.
Yeah.
But he's got... So that property is 120 acres.
Yeah, mean.
Then he lives on another property that's 100 acres.
Mean.
Then he's got two properties on the river, on the Murray River up in Corowa, that are both on acreage.
Gangster.
And he's like, yeah.
Just endless shit for you to do.
Yeah, it's just a fucking legend.
Because so, I suppose the thing I love, I look at what we, reason why I wanted to do all this stuff is it's real interesting because a lot of the questions we get from people is literally like, how do you get a flow of work? How do you price shit? Yeah. How do you deal with problems like wins, losses? That's why it's real interesting, you know?
I've had a whole string of clients... And this is all just word of mouth shit.
Yeah.
That I have not priced a fucking thing. I just rip in and give a bill and they just fucking pay it.
That's mean.
Yeah.
So I'm as a going
to. And that started from like as a third year apprentice.
Yeah.
I was doing a bit of work. One of my mates was a commercial chippy.
Yeah.
And my boss just flat out refused to work Fridays.
Mm.
So we were only doing 4 days a week.
Oh, so you had 3 days.
So I had 3 days. Yeah. So I was like, fuck, I'm an apprentice, broke as shit.
Mm.
I'm going to work these other days.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because I started my apprenticeship a bit later, I started at like 23.
Yeah.
I would go Fridays and Saturdays and work with my mate. And we did this redevelopment at the zoo.
Were you just working for cash then?
He just giving me cash, yeah.
Mean.
Yeah. And, through that, like, one of the site supers was like, oh, I've got this side job in Middle Park, which is like a real ritzy suburb, like where they have the Grand Prix.
Yeah, nice.
And he's like, can you come and work there? And I was like, yeah. So I went and started working there and it took about 4 days of me working there and the owner's like, listen, I'm going to fuck all these other guys off. Just you do it.
Sick.
And I was like, fucking okay. It was like $4.5 million like Man. Heritage joint in fucking Middle Park and he's just like.
Yeah, rip into it.
Go for it.
What did you do for your Monday to Thursday job?
I still just stayed doing what I was doing. Oh, and then you just did this
two to 3 days on the site.
Yeah. And then he ended up selling that house.
Yeah.
And bought another one. He just used to love buying like old fucking, and he said he had one like fucking right around the corner from here, which was the original Cobb & Co. head office.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some like fucking wanky doctor in the 70s had bought it and renovated it. It was like Austin Powers shit. It was fucking wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I spent ages working there. That was when I was like out on my own.
Yeah.
But I was doing all his shit at night.
How old would you have been now? Like 20, 25, 26? Started your apprenticeship at 23.
Yeah. So...
Late 20s.
Yeah, I went out on my own at 26.
Yeah, mean.
Yeah, 26. And so I would have been doing work for this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been like 25, 26, 27.
Mean.
And he was real high up at Macquarie Bank.
Yeah.
And so, fuck, like the business side of things and like, because straight up he's like, I'm going to pay you this much.
Yeah.
And like jacked up my hourly rate by $15 an hour like that.
How? Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was worth.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, this is what I'm paying all these other people.
Yeah.
Who... not as good as you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'll pay you what I'm paying them.
Yeah, mate.
I was like,
and compared to what you were making as a
I was like, fucking like... right on. Yeah. So he was paying me $50 an hour cash.
Not through the books.
Nah, so that's I was legit. Making working a Friday and Saturday, double what my fucking weekly wage was.
That's nuts, bro.
Yeah,
but you needed to finish it just to get it signed off and get it done, yeah? For your main your apprenticeship.
Yeah, I'm still really, really good mates with.
Mate.
My old boy, like best mates.
Yeah, did he know you were doing all this stuff Thursday, Friday? Yeah,
he frothed it. Fuck, his phone went off of the hook.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I do here?
Yeah.
I remember the first, like for this guy, he's like, oh, can you put this hearth in?
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fucking hell's a hearth?
Yeah, I'm asking like, the same thing.
I'm like, fuck, it's like just the stone at the bottom of the fireplace.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just for the fireplace.
Which on. Like, it makes sense, but I had no idea what a fucking hearth was. Yeah, I was like, what? And I was like, I fucking guess so.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this house was like, fucking 150 years old, and I'm like, fuck. So I just used to blow up my old boss.
Yeah, yeah. How do I do
like,
this?
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck. He was like, yep, sweet.
Mate.
Rock on.
Fuck, so have you ever put a fixed price in on something?
Yeah.
Because obviously we're QSs, people love knowing about pricing and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, what have you priced and how have you done it? Have you fucked something up? Have you lost money on jobs?
I've been really lucky.
Yeah.
So, like, I've got a fixed price contract now on the Hempcrete house, the Castlemaine job. And I just, like, started pricing it. And so, like, there's a handful of, like, I guess, like, the passive house builders in Melbourne that are, like, real clicky. Not clicky.
Yeah.
Like, just, we're all fucking real good mates, like, super supportive or whatever.
Mean.
And so I was like, fuck. I'm like, I've got no idea how to price shit. I just fucking, like, send it usually, like, whatever.
Chuck a price in and have a...
Yeah. And so Hamish from Sanctum Homes, like, fucking heavily mentored me through pricing it.
That's good, man.
You know, and he's like, and then, like, another mate of mine, Alistair, same, like, they were just like, nah, you got to do this, you got to do that, sent me overhead calculators, and that was, like, my first fucking dive into it.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I got my builder's license, I built a house for my parents, which is obviously just fucking...
Yeah, cost plus, we'll just open book, it, charge up, get it done.
Well, yeah, it was, like, fucking the biggest love job ever.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, and then obviously, like, I was pricing carpentry packages and stuff for jobs. But then I just really got into doing, like, fucked up shit that, like,
no one was doing.
People wouldn't want to quote.
That's mean, eh?
Yeah.
But isn't that
and
where
like,
you can...
And, like, random ass shit, yeah?
Yeah,
like, every year I build a truck, like a race car truck for Porsche, like, with this panel beater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, so just,
I just
like,
feel,
just random shit.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, man, I've got a mate like that back home. He'll deck out, like, vans and old buses and camper vans and shit. And I'm like, it's such buzzy shit, but I'm like, it takes so much extra craftsmanship to do that kind of stuff. I reckon it's cool, that.
It's fucking fun ass. Like, my old boss cracked shits with the building industry and fucking legged it. But he just was working for, like, really shit developers and stuff. Because he rips me, he's like, how are you still doing it? I'm like, bro, it's a different world. Like, you know, I'm doing custom homes for people that, like, come in every day and they, like, almost want to suck your dick.
Yeah.
Because it's their dream home.
Yeah, they love it. They're going to be here.
You know, when I worked for him and what he was doing, you're working for people that just cared about how fast you'll get it done, how cheap you'll get it done.
Yeah, competitive market. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so, like, would you say the guy that gave you all that charge up stuff, that was just like your first break out of like a non-competitive market? And he just liked you for you, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're a good builder.
And then and then that was it. He just was like happy to pay, just wanted a good job done.
Mean.
And so it was like a good relationship. And then it literally just fucking flowed.
Keep going.
And I've always just found people now that value what I do.
That's so good, eh?
And thankfully, most of them.
Yeah.
Well off enough that they're just like, it fucking costs what it costs.
So do you put an invoice, like a weekly invoice into this guy and he just pays it? Or is
so the one I'm doing for now, he'll harass me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get your invoice in.
Yeah. And even if like, you say it's like coming up the end of the quarter and I don't want a bill, I got to send him a tally of what he's up to because his business is huge.
Yeah.
And so he's doing daily cash flow reports.
Ah, I see.
And so now he's just starting to want to teach me like all the nitty gritty business.
That's cool.
Side of things.
Yeah. So how big's your building team at the moment?
No, it's just two of us.
Just you guys. So it's just you and another guy.
Yep.
He just works for you directly on wages.
Yep.
And you just go around and build.
Yeah.
That's so good, man.
Yeah.
How'd you find him?
This guy hasn't been with me for that long.
Yeah.
I just got rid of a guy at the end of the year who did like from 16 all the way through to like 22 whole apprenticeship.
Yeah.
The works, and it was just like time to part ways then.
Move on.
But the guy that I've got now, the Castlemaine job, the Hempcrete house, he was just a labourer there helping do the formwork.
Mean.
And when it finished, I was like, fuck, man, I could do with an extra set of hands. And he's like, shit, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I was like, sweet. And so he jumped on board.
Sweet.
And, he had, like, next to no carpentry experience.
Yeah.
Like, he had done, like, a bit of joinery and sort of that sort of stuff.
Practical kind of minded, though.
Yeah, he'd done a bit of labour and all that sort of shit. And he just, like, loved it. Started, like, fucking buying loads of tools and shit. I was like, do you want to stick around? He's like, yep.
Yeah, fuck, I've got nothing else to do.
I was like, fucking sweet. And he likes doing all the random shit that I like doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Whereas, like, the other dude I had, he sort of just wanted to be, like, you know, really enjoyed the framing and that sort of stuff. Whereas, like, I'm literally, like, if it's with my hands,
I'll do it.
Happy to do it.
Yeah. I just find it funny how you're getting new builds and all this crazy shit just off random shit. Like, is someone just saying, hey, this guy built this fucked up car thing and do you want to build my $3 million house?
Yeah.
Like, would you say the area where, like, you're living and building, is there much competition? Like, are there heaps of tradies out there? Is it just outer suburbs? Or
there's probably not, like, where I live now, there's not a heap of... There's not a heap of trades out there.
Yeah.
Like, people are obviously, like, travelling out there.
Yeah, for sure.
There probably hasn't been a lot of competition up until maybe the last 6 months.
Do you reckon it's
where happening? It's, like, it's definitely shifted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's definitely shifted now. Like, it's really slowed down.
Yeah.
And I guess it's probably a little bit more competitive.
Yeah.
But, like, say the type of builds that I want to do, like, you know, high-performance passive house, there's basically been one guy in that area and, like... He's the fucking... I've lost probably 3 projects to him.
Oh, well.
Yeah, like, I don't want to competitively tender.
Yeah.
I've had, like, job leads come in and they're sort of umming and ahhing between, like, 2 builders.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Because, like, outside of a few builders following me on Instagram, like, I'm unknown to most people.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy's obviously got a track record of doing passive houses in the Massing and Ranges.
Do you think you're just losing those purely on price or is he maybe putting together a bit of...
He's, he was definitely more expensive than what I would have been. He just has a reputation.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, he's got the track record,
yep.
You know, and I guess that's probably like one thing that's been holding me back a little bit with,
Getting the opportunity to do a couple, build up your word of mouth reputation.
Yeah. And then so like the Castlemaine job that I'm doing now, I was like the third choice builder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So everyone else said no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
You still put in a tender price for that, fixed price?
Yeah. Well, like at what? Yeah. So you know, priced it and signed a fixed price contract. But they originally wanted this other builder to do it.
Too busy.
And then he said, I think at the time, like, it was probably too far away
from,
you know, where the hub of all his work was.
Yeah.
And then they hit up another mate of mine because the owner's an architect.
Yeah.
So he was working for another architecture firm that was doing a project with another builder mate of mine.
Yeah.
And so they asked him, oh, do you want to do it? And he's like, nah, but, you know, Brad will probably do it.
Sick.
And then, met him and, they were probably like a little bit like, oh, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously.
We haven't heard of him before.
Yeah, like, I'm sort of flying under the radar a little bit. And then it helped that, like, I did my parents' house.
Yeah.
And so I had, because, like, a lot of the other stuff that I've done is just such random.
It's not really, like, profile work, eh?
Nah,
like,
you it's can't. Like just random shit. You know? And, like, heaps of the coolest shit that I was doing was, like, before I had an Instagram.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't have much documentation of doing it. I just was, like, just a bogan tradie doing shit that was rad. And I was like, cool. I never thought to, like, take photos or document it.
So who's doing all the now? Who runs Instagram now? Do you just take...
Yeah, I still myself.
You just take snaps on a... What are you running, iPhone 14 or something?
Yeah, I got an iPhone 15.
It's a pretty decent camera on that, eh? Yeah. And then you just upload everything yourself.
Yeah.
Fuck it. How many job... Would you get job inquiries through there? Or is it more just for other builders following you? Or do you
get... It's just, like... Just like other builders, you know. And then, like, I had an open house at the Castlemaine job.
Mean.
Just, like, opened it to builders exclusively.
Sweet.
So we just had, like, a whole day there. Because I get, like, heaps of questions. Because I, like, really show, like, the nitty-gritty on my stories.
Yeah, that's good, man.
And, like, all the stuff that, when I started wanting to get into that, I was relying heavily on content that was, like, US-based or, you know, Europe-based or whatever.
Yeah.
Even, like, you guys in NZ are a bit ahead of us in, you know, a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I started my Instagram back just random carpentry tips and shit and then slowly built up. And once people were like, oh, that's handy, I was like, fuck, I'll just share whatever. And people liked it and it just sort of grew from
it's
grew from there.
It's kind of cool, and I feel like I haven't looked into it too deeply, but I feel like you're not trying to, I don't know, sell anything or do. You're just like, this is my thing. This is what I do.
It trips me out, man, because it's just like, I literally just post what the fuck I'm up to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's so good, and you know, whatever. And it's been gross. Like, yeah, out of the, you know, all the builders that came to the open, you know, like some of them are like, oh, we're just starting to think about high performance houses, or they've never had an opportunity to go and see it in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, so it was gross for them. And then yesterday, one of the builders that came and had a look at it, he's actually building a hempcrete house for himself.
Uh-huh.
So he rang me yesterday, Arvo, and he's like, hey, I'm just going through the, you know, through this process. Like, you know, is there anything else that, you know, it's just gross to be able to
help people and
So,
give us the rundown on like traditional housing and passive housing. What's like different about it? What can people like learn if people don't know anything about it?
So it's really, I guess, like, you know, like I'm not like hardcore, like
no, but you passive, know, you'll know
passive
more
house
than...
or whatever. But you know, I guess like essentially in Australia, a standard house is just like a tent.
Yeah.
You know,
that's drafty, that's basically, air in
yeah,
and
it's basically
it's not
how they're how they're built, you know, not very durable.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to a passive house, or, you know, like what we call a high performance house or whatever. You know, and we're just adding high performance.
I love that word high performance house. It must sound like a fucking rock star 10,000 a square meter dollar house.
It's like, and for some of us, like I hate the term high performance. It's just we're just building houses that perform how they fucking should perform.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, like, with the cost of what it costs.
It's just fit for purpose.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, yeah, like, you know, a lot of the housing stock now in Australia would be lucky to last 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be trashed.
Yeah. Do you see, like, is there a lot of stuff like the high volume stuff? Not high performance, the other end, high volume group housing. Like, are they just going to turn into slums in 10 years, or like, are they going to fall apart? Or
so, some of what you see, like, there's a dude on TikTok, actually, the TikTok inspector, and he just goes around like,
rinsing.
He's like, but he's not even looking hard.
Yeah,
like some of the shit that I've seen, you know, before, and I very nearly left the industry as well. Like, just the types of jobs that I was doing, you know, through my apprenticeship, and you know, with the exception of the odd like good job on as a side.
Yeah.
Thing, you know, like the bulk of the carpentry work that I was doing initially was development work, where like they cut every possible corner, like the quality is atrocious, like, and like I was so depressed
because
like I love my job, like really
and
like,
you
it
do
doesn't
it
feel like going to work, it's like sick. It's honestly just like this is fun.
That's sick, man.
You know, and yeah, seeing all that stuff, it's like, fuck, man, this is like people's life savings. You know. And then now, like, as you learn more, it's, you know, like the health of the occupants of the building, you know, like these joints are all moldy. They're all, you know, falling down.
People getting sick in them.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy, you know. So we have a way that we can build, even if it's not passive house, but, you know, there's things that we can, you know, implement in a build, you know, simple shit. Like, let's wrap the joint properly. So you're protecting the structure and it's going to be durable. You know, allowing a pathway for water to escape or drain away. Just like this. That is simplest shit.
What's from like a cost perspective, I don't know if you know too much, is there a big cost perspective between like a standard residential house and a high performance house?
If like, you were comparing like volume to, you know, a high performance house, you're probably getting knocking close to double.
Okay.
But if you found, you know, like a good custom builder that's building a legitimate quality house and then you took that and went to high performance, it's...
Okay.
It'd be nonsense.
Not
like it wouldn't be a huge amount more.
Okay.
What like I definitely know builders that are building not high performance houses at a higher square meter rate than what people are building passive houses for. You know, but it's just depends on like the architectural finishes and
For sure.
All that sort of stuff.
So do you work with like when you get how many of these passive houses have you built?
So this Castlemaine one will be my first one.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then I did a high performance house for my parents.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
And then I was really trying to get into that space for a while.
Yeah.
So I had started, you know, for like some of the clients that I had, I was like, listen, but like I remember the first one that I like properly wrapped like a high performance house. I was like, you just pay for the wrap, I'll do the labor for free. I just want to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, just to get it under your portfolio. Like, put it on your portfolio.
Yeah, I want to...
Your belt.
Yeah, I want to be able to figure it out, know what's what, you know? So I just sort of, like, copped it on that one.
What's the brand of the moisture barrier that they install?
Proclima is, like, the most...
And then what's the most standard common one?
here.
Zoomcraft, something like that.
Yeah, Bradford.
Bradford, Zoom.
Yeah.
What's the cost difference in a roll? Do you ever, is it like, pretty sure they're like $180 a roll for a Thermcraft or a Bradford or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, you'd be like double the cost probably double to go from,
yeah.
Yeah, like there's obviously like a huge range, you know.
Absolutely, but I just like key yeah. elements.
Yeah, if you took like the house wrap that they're wrapping a volume house in and yeah. you went to like the Pro Climber wrap, you'd probably double the cost. You'd go okay, from cool. like 180 to
360-ish.
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah. yeah. But the labor time is no more.
If anything, less. Using the better wraps, is quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't tear. Yeah. They're stretchy. They're easier to work with.
Yeah.
The Pro Climber ones have got like all little, like every 100 mil, they've got like a little marking. Yeah, so if yeah. you've ever got to cut anything, it's like, it's just idiot proof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one, so with the newer wrap, is there anything like same process when you're wrapping around windows, cutting, you just cut in and then you're just window taping, same thing?
Yeah, well, it's like most people here, like if you drive around the suburbs and see a volume built, like the frame is coming in, smashing the frame up, putting the windows in,
yeah,
legging it, and then a separate company's coming in to chuck the wrap on,
yeah,
and they'll just cut around whatever's already there,
oh,
you know,
gosh.
and that's it.
So they don't do.
They've only just started tape and wrap, maybe in the last 2 years.
No way. Yeah. I feel like that's where we are quite far ahead in New Zealand.
Yeah. So like obviously like New Zealand's like you got the whole leaky building syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to like combat now.
Yeah. Too late.
We are. Just at the point now where we're creating that leaky building syndrome. Gosh.
So it's going to be move over here in 10 to 15 years and yeah. there'll be a crisis of knockdown rebuilds.
100%, which is wild because like
yeah,
we're so close to New Zealand.
How have they not figured out the problem?
Both of us are decades behind
yeah.
Europe and the US.
Yeah.
You know.
That's insane. I don't look too much into it, man. I mean, I see all the fancy stuff that comes up, like Swedish builds and like all the stuff in the Baltics and that, and it looks insane. I don't know about all the weather tight stuff over there. Do you know yeah. much about it, how different it is?
Like the products that they use?
Yeah, products and processes and weather tight.
Yeah, some of the products are different or whatever, you know, yeah. marginally different, like, but ProClimb is a German brand,
yeah.
you know, so like that's what, yeah. you know, that's where it came from.
It's been used Europe, over there, you know, already.
But they started developing that brand sometime in the early 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a few products that are exclusive to the Australian and New Zealand market from ProClimber, but that's yep. just because of our UV in yes. Australia and New Zealand, because the whole in the ozone layer.
Yeah, way worse.
We've got
yeah.
way harsher UV, so they've developed some products that are a little bit hardier to the UV just
yep.
for us.
Yeah.
But no, it's, other than that, like it's essentially the same product. Yeah. Like most of the, like, if you're a passive house builder in Australia, like, most yeah. of your shit's coming from Europe.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the product's coming from.
Are you seeing more, are you trying to move more of your marketing and stuff towards passive house now, or are you seeing more inquiries naturally?
Yeah, like I said, I don't really market myself
yeah.
at all. You know, like, I don't have a website. You know, like...
it's awesome, man. It's like, probably good because you probably can't get calls from marketing agencies trying to sell you all these SEO packages and that. So.
Yeah, no, like, I get the odd, like, DM on Instagram from, yeah. like, a company that's like, hey,
yeah.
you notice you haven't got a website.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And I'm like...
Nah, I'm all good, man. I'm booked out for 2 years. Don't stress.
Yeah, like, it's just me and one other dude. Like,
yeah.
I can only do so many jobs. So, I like being on the job.
Yeah.
I like doing the work.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually had a motorbike accident a couple of years ago, broke both my wrists. Wow. That took me off the tools for a while. I actually thought I was going to be off the tools forever because my left wrist is cooked.
Same time.
Yeah, I had a head-on dirt bike crash.
How the fuck did you brush your teeth? Fucking...
brushing my teeth was all right. It was really hard to wipe my ass.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
my wife was heavily pregnant at the time, so it was like brutal.
Double whammy, bro.
Yeah. But, yeah, that I sort of like, that was a hard period because I was like, oh shit, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, man.
And I sort of started then, I was like, oh, okay, I've got to transition away and then yeah. like just pump the rehab.
Yeah.
And it's sort of not too bad. Now I wear a wrist brace at work if I work
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just like really conservative
yeah.
about, you know, I don't like full send it like I
yeah, like you're I a little bit to. More cautious on the weekend.
A little bit more cautious. You know, not ripping dirt bikes around the bush anymore. So that sort of made me think, oh yeah, maybe I've got to start marketing myself
yeah.
a little bit. And then, yeah, just naturally, I mean, the body sort of half...
came back to it, yeah.
Half recovered and
yeah.
I just sort of go with the flow.
Nice.
You know, but I definitely have like a minimum standard that I'll build to.
Yeah.
So I shit can a lot of inquiries like real fast.
Yeah, I can
like,
imagine.
I'm like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
If you're not about that...
all but good. Go
I'm
to the
not
next.
For you.
Yeah.
Catch around.
Yeah. Here's someone else. Do you have other builders that you're close with that you'll just refer work to? Inquiries?
Like, there's definitely a heap of builders that I would recommend.
Yeah.
But most of the ones that, you know, the inquiries that I'm turning down are like, I don't know anyone that's going to want to build this. You're just going to need to go find some, you know, armchair builder.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah. None of my people that I'm referring to are going to be ideal for you, or you're probably not an ideal client for anyone.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's not enough information for, I always try and put myself in the, I'm still heavily involved in the building business back in Auckland, and I'm always trying to think like regarding marketing that, I'm the opposite from you. I'm like, I'm deep in marketing. But I'm always trying to figure out, like, husband and wife sitting at home on the couch on Tuesday night, what are they looking for? Like, what's going to, what can we put out there for them where they're going to be like, oh, fuck, these guys are good. We trust them. Oh, they know what they're talking about. Oh, cool. This is roughly within our budget.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel like there's not enough info for people when they're looking for information from builders?
Oh, it's really hard.
Pricing is trustworthy.
There's a lot of really good information out there.
Mm.
I guess you just got to know where to go to find it.
Yeah.
So like there's a few, there's one Facebook page here in Australia called My Efficient Electric Home.
Oh yeah.
And so that used to be a really good resource for people, and it just turned into like keyboard warrior, toxic, like nasty ass shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was a good way because, you know, people would go on there and go like, oh, I'm building a house, you know, and they'd start learning about things that they could potentially
pros and cons,
what to look out potentially for. Do better. It was like most of what happened, like I would prefer that a client comes to me and a designer before pens hit the paper.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can sit down, we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
How much money you want to spend? What do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? Right, sweet. These are the parameters that we've got to be in to, meet, you know, your desired outcome plus your budget.
Yeah. Those are,
you know, and we can sort of steer the project in the right direction.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of misinformation, you know, especially coming from like a range of architects where like clients roll in, go, hey, I want to do this. Architects maybe don't really have their finger on the pulse in terms of what things are going to cost.
Yeah.
And then something lands on your desk.
Yeah.
You know, like I had one pop up, you know, not long ago and it was, you know, client budget, $2 million, grouse budget.
Yeah, sweet.
You've designed a house that's $4 million to build.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? And so it's not like it's like, oh, you know, you can reach a value amount and not exceed your budget. It's like you hear about it. You know, even in the upper echelon of builds, you know, where you're talking like $10, $15, $20 million builds, where like people are going in going, my budget's 20 mil and it comes back and it's 30 million because the design has just gone to
crazy.
Town. I was just think the process that we have is so backwards when it comes to custom homes to where you're going through the whole process, you know, planning, you know, documentation, engineering, all that stuff before you've...
I know.
You know, people like, you know, like... Take your concept drawings to a QS.
A QS and get a ballpark figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
At least know where you're going before you keep investing money in, you know, design documentation.
Yeah. I mean, what would you pay for concepts? $3,000 or $4,000? Yeah, less?
Have it drawn.
Just for some ballparks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably less. Yeah. And it's like the client could spend that and maybe $1,000 on a QS report. There's $4,000 for a possible $2 million job.
Yeah.
Or instead of going, oh, all the way through to working drawings, engineer, you know, 50K. And then, oh, we need another...
But this one in particular, they had bulldozed their house to rebuild. They've just gone full send.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're like,
yeah,
you know. And she said to me, she's like, oh, I thought $2 million was a good budget.
That's crazy.
It's a good budget for a $2 million house.
Yeah,
it's
not
a good budget for a $4 million house.
Yeah, just not the one what the architects designed.
Yeah, you know.
I feel like sometimes the architects will just design to what's going to look good on their website or their Instagram.
A little bit. We had that with the architect who designed my parents' house, you know, and like my mum, psycho. And I had said to her, like, you know, make this guy's job as easy as possible.
Yeah.
Get on Pinterest, you know, whatever.
Find some photos.
And so she had been to like all the volume builders, got all their floor plans, come in, highlight this, I like this, don't like that. Nice. Like, man, it's like...
Did a heap of work. Like, yeah.
Basically, like, you know, obviously she would have the drawing capacity of a three-year-old.
Yeah, yeah,
but like,
yeah.
But
here's
know,
the fucking she image.
Yeah, if she could have drawn, she could have drawn it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like the first concept that came back, I was like, bro, you cannot have looked at any of that.
Completely misread.
You just can't have, you know, because he had his style that he wanted to do or whatever, but that should have just been a conversation. Hey, this is a style that I want to design. It's like me. I have the conversation.
Yeah,
I don't want to build a shit box.
That's real shit for wasting someone's time. Like, wouldn't you just say, hey, yeah, this is what we do. I can see what you've got here. Not really what we do. Here's a couple of people that might be able to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But I feel like lots of people don't want to say no.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, oh, you know? I need money or I need work.
But then same, like, you know, I've seen it, you know, like I had one project where we spent the best part of 2 years, you know, through design development, all that sort of stuff. And yeah, here's the recipe to build a house for your budget.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, forget about it. I want to do this, 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 this.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the clients are steering it despite, you know, whatever advice you give, you know, and then they fall in love with that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what do you pick out now?
Yeah, exactly.
So now, like, that's made me now, like, I really just want to find the right clients.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I'm a bit more aware now of what, like, what potential red flags there would be. Yeah, and if people aren't interested in investing in, you know, hey, if you don't believe my pricing, let's chat to, you know,
get a third party QS, someone else.
Go ring another builder. Exactly. I don't care.
Is there a lot of building going on out where you are? Like, are there a lot of Melbourne money moving out to the suburbs? Like,
there's so, like, where I am.
Yeah,
it's crazy because it's like, it's either like first time home buyers, or like ridiculous lifestyle properties.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like there's some big coin getting one splashed or the other around there. Yeah.
Yeah. So either on a budget or just going all out.
Yeah.
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 Interesting. Have you ever? Do you have to put together, like, obviously you've done a couple builds. Have you ever put together, like, contract stuff, sold prelim estimates? Like, do you do buyer's commitment fees if someone's semi-keen, like keen to go ahead? Because the big thing I talk about is not quoting for free.
So, So I definitely sort of did a bit of, like, the pay-to-play thing for a little bit just had my time wasted. And
For sure.
You know, for me, that was really the only way I was going to learn. Obviously, people had said to me, you have to charge for your time.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, oh, I want to get runs on the board.
Yeah.
You know,
it's different if you're just trying to get off the ground, though. Like, you've got to do it.
Whereas now I'm, like, you know, really starting to be, especially since having a kid.
Yeah.
I'm like,
time's...
Yeah.
Time's real important.
So it's like, either pay me or piss off.
Yeah. What's your upfront fee?
To be honest, like...
Varies.
I sort of... It's one thing that I've really been mulling over.
Yeah.
So I did one and I was like $2,500 to go through.
Nice.
Which for that job was probably like on the money. Like, I mean, if you broke it down to an hourly rate, it probably wasn't much.
Yeah.
But like, I certainly didn't do my balls.
Yeah. But it's a commitment from the client as well.
Yeah, but there's one, so like the Castlemaine project that I'm doing now, I didn't charge.
Yeah.
And like if I logged my hours, it'd be...
Ridiculous.
It'd be fucked.
So you're lucky you got it anyway. But
like I got the job, you know, and that was always a thing. And it was just like that process was 2 years as well from like first meeting to like breaking ground. So like the amount that I learnt and developed as a person and a builder in 2 years was wild. And it's like there's things that I've agreed to on that job that I'll never agree to again. You know, like the client lives in the shed on site. You know, they're in there every day. Thankfully, we get along.
Yeah.
You know, they used a heap of volunteers for their hempcrete. You know, like it's been loosey-goosey and like it suited who I was at the time. Before, you know, I'd really like let my ass hang out in terms of like potential litigation or any of that sort of stuff. And now I've had a couple of like, you know, like one of the volunteers there threatened to lag me into the VBA and work safe because the stuff that they were doing, like, you know, as part of the volunteering.
But was it all under your banner and your health and safety in that? Somewhat?
It was like, so it's like excluded from my contract, but I'm still the principal contractor.
Yeah, your license is going on it.
Yeah, it's my sign on the fence.
Full contract with you.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, oh.
That's a grey area, man.
Very grey area. So now it's like, shit, no, well, I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Grouse for the clients that they were able to do it. They're stoked with it, you know. Happy days, but I will never ever do it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the time when they asked about it, I was like, fuck, I don't sounds care. Like a grouse idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I feel like now over 2 years, you've kind of got probably more professional, a bit more business savvy.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't want to lose my license. I don't want to get, you don't get sued here, but you don't want to get a bloody court case or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, license that's taken it. Off you.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, like, obviously, like, I had left site and they'd started like modifying the scaffold and all that sort of shit. And I just was like, I can't control what people do when I'm not there.
Nah, there's only so much you can.
Yeah. So now it's like just purely from a risk minimization standpoint. Absolutely. I'd be like, I just don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like rolling through trades, you know, like once you've had a bad experience with a particular trade, you can be like, I'm not going to use them again because I don't want to have to deal with this and this and this.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing.
Is it hard getting subbies out where you are?
Yep.
Are they all country based? Are they coming out from Melbourne?
No, so like all my trade base was from when I was working closer into town.
Yeah, so that's how you knew
and
everyone.
And all of my trades are people that I was in the trenches with working for other builders.
Yeah.
That's how I picked them.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I'd roll up to a job and go,
fuck yeah, I need you.
This lad's doing a good job.
Yeah, me.
You know, start asking questions. Oh, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah.
You're for me.
Nice.
And then so when I got my builder's license, I was like, right, these are all the trades that I want to use.
Yeah.
And so I've like picked that crew on board for the most part. You know, there's been a couple of, you know, ones comers and goers or whatever.
Sure.
It's obviously it's hard for me doing a limited amount of projects. Like, you know, I'm not keeping people busy full time.
So like revenue for them, they're like, oh, fuck, well, I'm only getting one job every 6 months.
For sure. You know, so like, I just rely on rolling out the red carpet for them, making sure that they're coming in, making money, job straightforward, it's well planned, you know. I keep them up to date with what my schedule is, you know, so it's as easy for them as possible.
It wants to be a breeze for you.
And that's meant that they will travel out to where the jobs are. Because for most of them, it's, you know, on an hour or maybe just just over.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be reluctant to take on projects like that far away again. Because, like, you know, most people, now it's like, oh, I can work half an hour from home for the same money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why would I
move out to or drive an hour, not get paid for travel, spend that time in the car?
But like the plasterer, he ended up staying in the town, which when he priced it, he said to me, I'm going to have to put a bid on for travel. Fair enough.
Mean, all good.
You know, no dramas. And then he decided he didn't want to travel. He's just going to, you know, obviously whatever he had allocated towards driving backs and forwards every day, he just
put into accommodation.
Yeah, just got accommodation. They did big days, smashed it out.
Yeah, fair.
You know,
that's just how it is. Win-win. You just adapt to jobs. Yeah. What's do you have any rough ideas like what plasterers and painters charge you a square meter, or is it all just fixed? You don't really know.
Not a clue.
No, fair enough.
Not a clue.
I love knowing rates and it's, pricing
perspective. Yeah, it's hard. I've sort of, you know, like it's wild because I've got two jobs that are so drastically different. I've got one that's a giant rectangle that's like, you know, in terms of like plastering and painting and that sort of stuff. Dead basic.
Easy to price, easy to do, no
And then I've got a really, and that's a big house.
Yeah.
You know, that's 325 square meters.
Yeah, it's huge.
Then I've got a really small footprint, 110 square meters, that has every feature going on in it.
Fucking curves, you walls, know, rates,
yeah,
ceilings.
Like the roof on the Castle Main house, the roof plumber sheeted it in a day. And it was 500, well, it was 325 meters house.
Yeah.
And then the roof was banging up close to 500 square meters.
Yeah.
On the other house, they were gone for 2.5 weeks because it's like up, down valleys, like all this shit, you know, flashings here, stone walls there.
Funky
so it's
shit,
like, the square meter price would be chalk and cheese. Like it's, you know, it's just so
drastically different for a scope of work.
Yeah, and then same like the timber floor, like Castle Main, like I think I paid somewhere around $40 a square meter to have the timber floor laid.
Yeah.
The Little River project, it's like trenched in under the stone wall.
Yeah.
I've got a teardrop fireplace hearth that it's like routed out so the fireplace hearth drops.
Labor time, man.
Yeah, and then I've got joinery in there that's got a concealed door into an ensuite.
Yeah.
So like you got that transition from like timber to...
Yeah,
so chalk and cheese. So it's like I really have to price a lot of aspects of each job individually.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Same like wrapping the, you know, wrapping them. It's like
high performance house or standard house. Yeah.
Oh, but like, you know, the Castle Main house, one big rectangle, like wrap that piece of piss.
Yeah.
Like straight run.
Yeah. Easy. One roll it all the way down.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
How many estimates a year are you throwing out on jobs?
Maybe two.
Yeah, you're a smaller guy.
Yeah.
Two guys, man.
Yeah.
That's the dream, though.
Yeah.
Don't have to work too hard.
Yeah, and that's why I like that sort of getting involved early,
because
it makes the process super easy for me, because, like, as it's going through, like, design development, I'm adding in the line items, like, bit by bit. I'm not under this pressure to be like, right, get this, you know, number locked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if you're the sort of builder that's tendering and, you know, here's the tender set, we've sent it to five architects, you've got 20 days to get your price in.
Yeah.
you know, like I'm not doing any of that.
I feel like you're not really in the competitive realm, which is when so many, I just think that can go wrong for so many people, dropping prices, trying to make stuff. I just think it's.
Yeah. And I just know for me, like mentally, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Not like I'm happy to be competitive.
Yeah.
But like I'm going to compete on quality.
Yeah, 100%.
And if I have to drop my quality to drop price, like I know, I 100%, like either of my two, one build's only small, but like the other one, I could have wiped 100K off it like that. Easily.
Yeah.
I could have used a shit of Tyler, a shit of plaster, a shit of painter.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know.
Scope around here, cheaper
A worse plumber.
Yeah.
You know, like my plumber does the entire plumbing scope.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Downpipes, gutters, drainage. And
plumbs, you should see it.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got like all the gutter clips on the spouting and then it's got suspended PVC pipe below.
Yeah.
All the clips are perfectly
bang on.
Perfectly spaced.
Yeah, yeah.
Bang on. I'm like, and I don't have to open my mouth. He just knows that, like, you know, and that's what he wants to do, you know? And I see the value in that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, I don't want to not have that on my job and it just be slapped up just to, you know,
save, fuck, what, $1,000?
Yeah. $2,000. And it's wild. Like, sometimes, like, especially at the moment where, you know, I guess it's like slowly turning now, but, you know, we've had such a trade shortage.
Yeah.
Some of the shit trades are more expensive than the good trades.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like...
maybe just because they're not getting reliable work off builders. So they're like, fuck, I'm running out of work. I better make as much money as I can.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Or like some of them, you know, like the Castlemaine job, like painting was out of my scope.
Yeah.
Thankfully now my painter's painting it, which I'm rapt about.
Yeah, nice.
Margin, you know, on but top the, for you? Nah, I just...
put them in, referred.
I've had a fair few varies on that. Yeah, job, so I'm like making my money and it's like getting to the nitty gritty end and the client's like conscious of budget and I was like, listen, he had a couple of painters come out and price it and I was like, none of these guys are instilling me with any confidence that they're going to give half a fuck.
Yeah, and you're like 90% of the job done, you don't want
to and it's like, it's an expensive build, it's like super nice, I've busted my ass to make it, you know,
good,
as close to perfect as I can get it. I was like, imagine a painter comes in here and butchers it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus, like, it's all feature hempcrete walls. So if they're not masked 100% and you get a bit of overspray on there, you're cooked.
Yeah,
like, there's no fix it.
We
like
got problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, this guy came and he had reached out. He'd sent the plans out to, I think he said, 13 painters locally.
13?
13. One dude came up to price it.
Man, one there's dude. So much value in picking up the phone, if you're a business owner. Like, honestly, just being able to pick up the phone.
It's like, so this is like straight up. If you send me an Instagram DM, a text message, or an email as your first point of contact for me to do your project, forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just send me drawings and say, hey, can you price this?
Yeah.
Not for me. If you're not interested in building a relationship with me, like, we're going to be married for 10 years, basically, after I build your house.
That's it.
If that's... the, you know, what you're reducing this relationship to is shooting out an email.
Just a price.
You know, to whoever you've popped up on Google.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know about it.
Yeah, I just feel like it's, I don't know, you read, so I feel like from a homeowner's perspective, there's so much scarcity in who to get for a builder. All you read is builder going bust, so they're just thinking, oh, frames are up, I'm going to make a payment. Fuck, he's gone, on to the next one.
Yeah.
Or builder can't finish the job, or, you know. Like, it's it can be pretty ruthless experience, I suppose.
It's just crazy. Like, you know, you don't hear, say you're going to buy a car. You know, people are like, oh, you drive a Ford Ranger. What do you think of it? You know, let's get on the Ford Rangers Owners Club Facebook page and, like, read all the reviews.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, my missus won't go to a cafe without, like,
reading,
going on their Instagrams, who's tagged their posts, who's been there, what does the shit, like.
But then
people with a house go, like, oh, Bob Smith Builder.
Yeah.
That'll do.
He's good to go. He picked up the phone. We'll give him $500,000 to $1 million.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. Crazy. How are people not putting, you know, and it's the same, like, you know.
Yeah.
How did you pick that designer? Oh, their office is at the end of my street.
Yeah.
Like.
Convenient.
It's the most money you're ever going to spend.
It is crazy,
You know, and think about the thought that people put into, like, where am I going to send my kid to childcare? What school are they going to?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all these different things, but then with building, it's like, that, you know,
the biggest purchase they'll ever make.
And it's like, I hate, like, I'll only take, like, trade recommendations off, like, has to be someone I know that's recommended someone that they work with.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and I'll be like, sweet, no dramas. But you see all the time, you know, people just jump on Facebook and go, hey, can anyone recommend whatever? And yeah. It's like, yeah, here's, you know.
John Smith.
Yeah, John Smith plumber. Yeah, or who commented that? Yeah. Oh, fuck, you know, his wife even... or his daughter his mate.
Yeah, there's like no liability that they did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty impressive on your end, man. No website, no Google reviews, nothing. People can't go on the internet. But I suppose, like you said, a job you're on, you'll be on there for a year.
Yeah.
You can get word of mouth stuff up for a year, line up one job, boom, you're all good, you know?
Yeah.
Versus, I mean, when we first got into QSing, I was real concerned about that. And a mentor guy said to me, he's like, you will get people come back to you and pull you apart to shreds. And I was just like, every time we get a review or a positive email, put it on social media and save it on the highlights. Yeah. Save as many fucking positive reviews as we can.
Yeah.
My game's probably a bit different than yours. We're sort of going more for volume. We only hire ex-builders because I don't want that university. I want to be able to talk lingo, like show the lingo. But yeah, I mean, if you're a builder building one or two nice houses a year, man, fuck, that's the dream. You don't have to compete for work. You're not really competing on price.
Yeah.
Work for a dream client. It's fucking easy, eh?
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
I reckon. Hopefully it just keeps...
smooth sailing, eh?
Yeah.
Do you see it staying busy for the next couple of years? Hard to tell, I know.
It's hard to tell. Like, I sort of thought like the tail end of last year, I was starting to stress. I was like, oh, nothing's really like popping up. And then like as soon as January hit, I reckon I've had 3-4 inquiries.
Nice.
Now like just...
this month.
Yeah, just this. Yeah, just this month. Like a couple of them obviously like time waster things,
yeah, for sure.
You know, like not for me, you know, but yeah, I had sort of decided that I was going to take a bit of a sabbatical this year and, you know, just chill out. Like I said, I've got a client who's got so many jobs here, there and everywhere that I can
just do those and that's enough to
like he's got a sick boat out of a James Bond film that he wants to like restore. It's got all timber seats in it, so I was like, I can rip into that, like whatever, like I'm happy to just do happy to just do whatever. I haven't really had a break without something like rolling over.
Yeah.
Ever since I, you know, went out on my own.
Yeah.
You know, every holiday we've been on, it's like got to rush back.
Get back,
you know,
to work, come back, start to this heat job. Shit.
You know, so I was sort of like, you know, I really want to, you know, just take a bit of...
You've just had a child, bro. Lifestyle's important. You got to like be there and do stuff.
Yeah, that's it. You know, like my wife, she's sort of getting ready to want to go back to work herself for her own, you know, so it's like, oh, here's a good time to hang out, spend some time with the family before she goes back to work and, you know, kid goes to childcare or whatever. And,
yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, like if the, you know, if the right job pops up, you know, but yeah, I've just always been, you know, like I'm happy to do anything, you know, like during COVID, like my old boss, now he builds custom caravans.
Yeah.
And during COVID, during
that
all the...
became massive, eh?
Yeah.
Caravans and van conversions and stuff.
Yeah, went wild.
That's nuts.
But that's what he does. And then, like, during the COVID lockdowns, I was like, fuck, I can't go to work. Mm. I was like, I'm not sitting around fucking bored.
Nah,
fuck that. I went and built caravans.
No shit.
Yeah, I was like, sweet. I was like, I'll come chop you out. We'll build vans.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I spent 2 weeks up there, like, during one of the COVID lockdowns, just, like, building vans.
Is it still busy now?
He's killing it. He's crushing it.
Yeah. That's so good.
You know, so yeah, for me, I've always enjoyed doing random different things.
Yeah,
because I'm happy to do random different things, I'm probably never going to be out of work, no matter how shitful it goes.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I don't know, I've definitely know some people have a ego around they won't do anything less than X or they won't do anything less than that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I won't do anything less than what's going to pay my mortgage and put food on the table, but...
That's a non-negotiable.
Outside of that, I'm like, oh yeah, like if I got a bit of, you know, of time. I actually also love, you know, and this is like last year, like tail end of last year got really hard for me because I love going and working with other builders and chopping them out and like, because I only build... you know, one or two a year.
Yeah.
I'm only going to get exposed to so many things.
Yeah.
But then when I've got downtime, it's like, I can go chop out, you know, Matt or, you know, other builders that I know in the area. And it's like, fuck, now I've got this exposure to this cool shit that they're doing on this job that I might not ever see before.
Yeah.
You know, and then, when it pops up on something that I've got, you know, it's like, oh, fucking hell.
You might be able to link up with them and build your network, eh? Well, that's what I'm enjoying about the podcast thing. Like, I had no idea that you built random shit fucking an hour out of Melbourne. And then it's like, you can use Instagram to promote that, and I reckon it's cool.
Yeah.
I love it, eh?
Yeah, it's good.
So no complaints, man.
It's a crazy, it's a crazy industry, the building industry. Like,
yeah.
I got a real good mate of mine who's in earthworks.
Yeah.
And we chat shop, you know, he's obviously like business is business. Yeah. You know, we all have the same
gotta
struggles.
Make money, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's always like, man, I've reached out to other guys in his industry. Cause obviously like certain things are industry specific.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no one wants a bar of networking or, you know, there's no brotherhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
like, I mean, I don't know what it's like ever, but I went to Queenstown over Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Hung out with the builder over there.
Me? Just messaged him on Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah, like we had already like been chatting on Instagram. And it's cool, I was like, hey, bro, I'm going to be in Queenstown. Let's grab a beer. He's like, yep, sweet.
Similar interests, same background. Yeah. It's cool, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like about it the most, eh? It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet, man. Thank you very much for coming in, bro.
Too easy, mate.
Much appreciated. Good to shoot the shit. Thank you. Legend.